Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
From Vanderpump Rules to motherhood and everywhere in between, it's time to catch up with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shenanigans. It is Vanderpump Rules Season 11 premiere week. I am sipping some tea, probably going to spill a bit of it because we are back on the Hot Topics couch with two of your favorite pop culture experts, Kiki Monique and Ryan Bailey. How we doing?
Love to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, listen, it feels like it should be the end of the season. I'm exhausted already. This is
tell me about
we're only
it.
One episode in, and I'm out. Like, this is wild.
I know. I feel like we have a lot to digest this week, so we may as well just jump right in.
Yeah.
Obviously, the premiere was last night, but before that, I was in New York, and I watched Ariana absolutely fucking crush it.
Wow.
You would not believe this was her first time on Broadway, that this was her debut performance. Like, I could cry. It was so incredible. She hit every single move. She had the comedic timing of a freaking genius. And she's next to this woman who's been on Broadway for over 2 decades. And it was like they had both been doing this their whole life.
Yeah,
I have never been so proud of her. She keeps just like surprising me. And just it was everything I expected because I knew she would be incredible. Yeah. But seeing it and knowing that that has been her dream since like she was a little girl.
Yeah. People forget she's actually a trained actor
like,
and that she grew up doing musicals.
She's so good. I mean, I've heard this girl karaoke her ass off that I'm like, oh, I know when you get on that stage, it's going to be incredible. And
wait, karaoke's Tom's thing.
Sorry. No, I love that because it reminds me of that LL Cool J saying that Bridget Everett then repeated, like, DDHD, dreams don't have deadlines. Because you actually have no idea that your dream could come through a cheating scandal, right? Like, that's sort of how it all led to that.
That's the dream, right? Yeah. No, it is amazing. It's like turning like this a horrible thing into something positive. And that's what's going to be potentially, I'm already frustrated with just the dialogue surrounding that of, oh, look at this. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm like, she's out there doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, she's not there. Unless you correct me. Is there a monologue during Chicago where she talks about the cheating scandal?
No, but what's funny is how have you seen the movie or the show before?
Yeah. I haven't.
Okay. So I hadn't. So I didn't know anything about it. But, and I mean, not to ruin it, but it starts off very early in the show where she kills her lover And so I was like, you know who she is channeling when she's like, bam.
I love that.
And then it's about these women who are all like on death row. It's like these six murderesses. Oh. And it's all about them coming to fame. And then each one who kills someone, then it's like, she's the most popular and her names are in the paper. And it's just like,
yeah.
Oh, this sounds yeah. like a Valentine's Day, like great no, this, date. People yeah. should be buying.
Bring your lover. Yeah. No, it's like really awesome. But that's my whole point, is that she's not out there giving monologues about Sandoval. She's out there doing a performance. Yes. Yeah. She's acting. Like, this yeah. has nothing to do.
No.
I mean, people can bring their own, like, you know, thoughts about it, and it's kind of an LOL in a way. But,
oh,
like,
totally.
It's nothing to do. So when you hear him talk about, like, oh, she's so bitter, dude. It's like, bitter on Broadway?
Yeah.
Like, she's I know. On Broadway.
He's like, just, I want her to go do her own thing. Trust me.
She is.
She's absolutely doing her own
like,
thing.
She seems like she's doing it.
Yeah.
You should do yours, too.
Yes.
You know?
She is living her best life. She is absolutely crushing it. And it was just incredible. I highly recommend anyone. I think she's going to be there through around the end of March to go to New York, because it's so worth it.
Someone reminded me right before we got in here, though, it was kind of creepy, because 2020 and 2024 have these weird overlaps, because it's like we have Kansas City and 49ers going to the Super Bowl, which happened in 2020.
Right.
We have Trump and Biden most likely running for president. And someone said, we also had a housewife who was starring in Chicago.
Erica Jane.
Yes.
That's
and I was
right.
like, okay, if a pandemic comes, I will literally
oh,
lose my
no.
mind.
Oh my
gosh. So March, just watch out for March.
Let's just scrub that from the show entirely. That really just scared me. But in fact, I do actually know what I would do. I would watch more TV and read more books. So yeah. I'm ready for another one. Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was so much fun. We did a mom-daughter trip. It was so unfortunate. Last minute, Lala's mom wasn't able to come because Ocean woke up with this gnarly cough and they were like, we can't both leave the baby.
Yeah.
She had to
she
be there.
She was in
for,
the ball pit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She had to be there for Watch What Happens Live. So she didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And one of our other friends, one of Ariana's best friends from college, Meredith was there
yeah.
with her mom. And it was just so much fun. Ariana's mom was there. And just to get to be there with so many people who love her and support her. We all went out after to this gay bar called Boxers, and it was the best time. I'm still trying to catch up.
I love it. That.
Yeah, I was shocked we were recording. I was like, aren't you in New York? So I was shocked we were doing this.
Yeah.
But also so much this week. And I also thought it was great this Broadway thing was happening on the week of.
Right.
Because it kind of almost takes away of like from any potential negativity for some of you guys yeah. going into a new season, just
I
hearing
still
all
saw
the voices.
It from me.
No, you're still taking it on the chin. Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like, you know, if I ever win a poll on Watch What Happens Live, it's rigged. Because
oh yeah,
you know, even when I'm on it, I lose every poll.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
You think that they just vote for the person who's on? I'm like, no. Even when I'm there, I'm still the 2%.
Okay, let's vote for Sheena 2024.
Yeah, we'll find out whatever those bots that the Housewives fans yeah. use to like right? you know attack their.
Well, I'll be on Watch What Happens Live next week, so we'll okay. see what fun oh, games okay. and polls they.
You
have
do you know who you're going on with?
Yeah, Ryan from Million Dollar Listing. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
All right, so that's after Vanderpump next week then,
yes.
I imagine.
And also the band I do music with, the 27s, they get introduced in episode 2. They actually just released a clip today of me in the studio with them.
Okay.
And they're going to be bartending.
Oh, fun.
So I'm so excited.
Okay, move Love over it. Ariana Grande. Let's go.
All right, let's get into it. VPR is back. So how did you guys feel about this week's episode? Are you excited for season 11? What are your predictions? Anything that surprised you? Give me it all.
I mean, I've watched this episode because we watched it at the premiere party, which Ryan, right. you didn't go
I
to.
I didn't go to.
And at the end of it, I was like, I can't talk about it, but I did sort of tease my subscribers. I was like, I think Lala might be the villain this season. Let me know what you think when you watch. And I don't know. I feel like based on sort of what people are seeing online.
I want to know why you think that.
Well, I just think that they saw her come so hard for Raquel, Rachel, and I think when they mm-hmm. saw her soften up and send the message, they were like, why? Wait, why did you do that? Oh, look, I get it. I get why you would do that. First of all, I mean, we want you to come back. And I think Lala is sensitive. Like she reminds me yeah. of me, and like you have this really like hard exterior, but you have empathy inside.
Mm-hmm.
And she's when she said like, I don't want her to wear this for the rest of her life.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
And the fact is she actually said, when I used to be called home wrecking whore, this and that, well, basically they were kind of right. Like, that's a really brave talking head that she gave. But we all think about, like we're producers of the show now. So a lot of people are like, nope, she's trying to get a storyline. Nope, that's a storyline to bring her back in. And, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, you guys all thought there was a possibility at that point she was coming back in some way.
I mean, yeah.
I would share that with you, right?
There's no reason why anyone shouldn't come back. Obviously, her mental health. You know what I'm saying? When we're an ensemble cast and something happens, the fans and also us as the cast, you know, it's like we want answers. We want those stories to finish. We want to have those conversations, as tough as they may be. We may never be friends again, but I felt like at the time, Raquel and I still definitely had some things we needed to say to each other. I felt like Lala really wanted an apology from her. She owed Ariana the biggest one. I'm sure Lisa had things to say to her about just how she, you know, did everything and left Sir and whatnot. You know how Lisa is with the people who work at Sir. And so
I do think, though, based on I will take back what I said about her podcast. I have actually been listening to all of her podcasts, and there have been little tidbits that have come out. And I will say the 90 days she spent, I do think she learned enough where if she had come right back to film, she would have not learned that. And I don't think that the season would have carried like the way maybe we wanted it to. Mm-hmm. I think with the learning she had, she would actually hold Tom more accountable. And I don't think she would have done that if she had just come right back to film.
That makes sense.
You know, I listen to her podcast at like 2 times the speed just to, you know,
I do too.
And by the way, it's still kind of a normal pace at 2 times the speed. I'm like, okay, I don't know why people are complaining. I'm like, this is normal. But having said all of that, there are little tidbits, like you're right, like, but it would have been so much more powerful. And you're right about like, it might not have been the right moment. That's why I leave it open for potentially a season 12 comeback. But for her to say like Schwartz knew after the first night that her and Sandoval hooked up, that would have been so much powerful of Rachel saying that to Schwartz's face to actually remind people that Schwartz was a part of this.
Yeah.
The three of them were a unit, almost throwing people off at your wedding, having that little kiss. And it wasn't just happening to Ariana. It happened to Katie as well. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm not Tom Sandoval. People got to remember. But like, you played a part in this as well.
Yeah.
Completely. Even though you're like super fun, nice guy, really funny. I just think the Rachel of it all is just, it's like this missed opportunity. I understand from a mental health standpoint.
Totally.
But you just wish that she would have been that voice to potentially even hold them accountable in ways that they need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just a couple of days she needed to come back for a couple of conversations.
Yeah.
I don't think she should have come back full time.
That could set you back. Like, I mean, you know, you've gone through mental health struggles.
Totally.
I go through mental health struggles. If I'm the wrong day at the wrong time, like, your mind goes really, really dark really quickly. And I do applaud her, but I'm still just so confused about that. Cause I was like, Lala, like go off and live your life, go be a normal person then. But the jumping into the podcast, I don't even know if she's strong enough for that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, cause like she is, you know, again, like we can listen to, you know, the interviews that Sandoval does now, and we can listen to her on her podcast, and we can hear how he gaslights her, and we can hear the lies that are coming out. Would that have happened in this season? I don't know, because I don't know how it had been edited.
Well,
I don't know.
That's what I said. They need somebody that has time, not me, has to do a supercut of Vanderpump Rules season 11 and intersperse her podcast, your podcast, the Tom's podcast, intersperse it and do like each episode of like a 360 view of actually what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Because by the way, the podcast now have become like this additional materials that actually give a fuller picture to the actual whole story.
Or in Lala's case, sometimes her Amazon Lives. I'm like, there's so much cheese built on Lala. I'm like, do I need to go shopping on this?
But it's so comedic in a really dark way, that last scene with Lala of like, Ariana, sometimes I feel like you don't let me in and like take me in and all of this stuff. And Ariana's like, no, totally. And then she's like, but by the way, I did reach out to her. And I'm like, and Katie's face with that fry, she's like, what? I mean, what was that like sitting there, watch, because it's just such a beautiful moment. And she's like, well, cool, I'm glad you trust me again. I did reach out to Rachel.
I know. I mean, it was perfect timing for watching, you know, the show and just the entertainment aspect of it, because you weren't expecting that in that moment. So you're just like, oh, plot twist. But
Ariana probably wasn't expecting in that moment. Ariana probably been like, oh yeah, I'm filming again.
Yeah.
Like that must have been like, yeah, it's not all wine and roses.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched that someone during the season of filming was going to reach out to her to try to get her to come back and have some conversations. You know, did we expect it to be Lala? No, probably more like Lisa, maybe even Schwartz, but definitely none of us women. So I think that was what was such the most like shocking part of it, was that it was Lala.
But yeah. Just in the same breath as sisterhood. Like, we're a sister to the traveling pants, the four of us. Let's do this. And then, like, hey, speaking of that. And I understand why Lala did it. I understand also that moves the story along. I just thought it was just a kind of a comedic moment.
Yeah.
I was surprised she also left a voice memo, too. Because I was like, if I was going to reach out to Raquel, like, how would I have done it? Would it have just been, like, a simple text? But I guess voice memo is, like, the easiest way to kind of get your point across.
And also, are we going to hear that voice memo on Rachel's podcast? Like, I was like, also, what is it? And also, I said this yesterday, but come on, no more Tom alleyway. It should be the Sir alleyway or no. That Tom
yeah.
alleyway
yeah,
looks looks like a power plant of some sort. It looks very cold and uninviting. And the Sir alleyway is much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were your favorite parts of the episode?
Oh God, what were my
favorite parts? My comedic favorite moment was the summer moon beef.
Obviously.
I was like, how do you block? Because it just that's what I love about the show is your imagination kind of runs wild of those conversations of like Tom, like, you know what you did, Summer Moon. You know it, dude. I'm sorry. Your parents have toxically brainwashed you. And I would have loved to have, like, I don't know. That's how I watched that show. So that was hysterical to me.
Yeah.
It's those little moments. The penis flute. Having Anne, her assistant.
Oh yeah, Anne, text messages. Yeah.
Talk about your shitty part-time jobs. Like, my boss asked me to glue together a penis flute today. Like, that's got to be a bad day for Anne, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, seeing the text messages she has to deal with, like, freedom of speech to, like, leave the lights on. Like, I'm just like, I can't, I could never.
I know. I did like the meme that you made, the beef. Saw some people talking shit.
How dare you bring a kid into this? I'm like, what a show. Are we all watching the same show?
The kid is in it. She's on the show.
I mean, that's it. I guess already that's what I'm talking about in terms of exhaustion. I was like I was recording my 2-hour line-by-line recap, and I would take breaks to rest my voice, and I would go on Facebook, and it's just you all of a sudden see, like, why is Ariana dancing on a table at Tom Tom? Look at her. I can't believe her. Disgusting. Or like, of course Sheena would do this. And that's the stuff that gets tiring.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, we have a real storyline here. And I will say, in terms of the Nick Vialli podcast, that's what was a bummer about Sandoval going on.
Vialli?
I'm joking. Okay. I call it the Vialli Fiallis. But Tom going on that and being as angry as he was, it's almost like a spoiler alert for the whole season. Because my secret hope was that we actually do see Tom grow and change and have some sort of recognition. And to me, it was like, spoiler alert, he didn't.
Yeah. That was a hot mess.
We're going to get
into... What was your favorite moment watching it back?
I mean, the summer stuff, obviously. Yeah. Was so funny. Just seeing her spell her name and that was the first scene we were in.
She looks down the shotgun at the camera. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There were so many times when they're there and I'm like putting her down for her nap or something. She goes, ooh, one, two. Two cameras. And it was like, I'm like, please break the fourth wall with Summer this season.
Yeah. Wait, does she have a good side? Does she know her good side yet?
She has all good sides. Yes. But she knows when you're in a photo with mama, you're on my right. Right hip only, which is more dominant for me anyway. So it works out perfectly. But I do want to get into the Tom recent podcast that I didn't bleed my ears out to listen to. Thank you for doing that for me. But before we do, we're going to take a little break.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car.
you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is supported by FX's feud, Capote versus the Swans. Inspired by actual events, the series tells the story of writer Truman Capote and the women he betrayed. The original housewives, they were society's most elite women, rich, glamorous socialites who defined a bygone era of high society in New York. From creator Ryan Murphy, this drama series features an all-star cast, including Naomi Watts, Demi Moore, Diane Lane, Molly Ringwald, Calista Flockhart, Chloe Sevigny, and Tom Hollander as Truman Capote. FX's Feud, all new Wednesdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
Welcome to Raising Good Humans. I'm Dr. Lisa Pressman. My first book, The 5 Principles of Parenting, Your Essential Guide to Raising Good Humans, is out now. In this book, I've wanted to quiet all the noise that's out there and distill the science into 5 core principles. And using those principles, you can solve absolutely any parenting challenge, giving you the confidence to raise good humans. Order now and give yourself a little bit of ease.
So, Tom and Tom appeared together on a former 4-time Bachelor, Bachelorette Contestants podcast recently. And I know it was rough just based off the TikToks that I saw and the recaps that I read. There was no way. I heard it was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah. So long.
I don't have time for that. I'm a couple episodes of Housewives behind. So that gets my attention before the podcast that gives me the ick. And also, if you're watching, you can get my new merch at shop.dearmedia.com. You're giving me the ick. It also goes with my new song, Boy Crazy, because it's a line in the song. But you know when some people, they just put the ick in their name?
Mm-hmm.
Takeaways from the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, Sandoval has clearly, he has learned nothing. He's definitely not sober again. I mean, I don't know how long he was going to be sober, but like clearly he shows up.
8 months, right?
That he was did sober? 8 months. The first time that I found out he was drinking again was at the Creative Arts Emmys. I looked at him and I knew he wasn't sober. And I think he had just started drinking again that week. I think maybe on their trip to Japan, Kyle or Schwartz mentioned. So it is more recent, but I think he doesn't know how to put it back under control because it's like you go 8.5 months without drinking and then boom, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's something. I mean, I know just from having a baby and breastfeeding to go that long without drinking the first time you do, it's like, woo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt all sorts of guilt and I'm like, I don't even have a drinking problem. But just after you go that long, there is a guilt layer on top of it.
Well, I mean, it was just a mess from start to finish. And I, you know, just doing a podcast and Kiki does a podcast as well, is that, you know, the amount of, that they left in of, they left the 40 minutes in that he was late for it. So it was like this scrambling and Schwartz all of a sudden being interviewed and like, oh, I'm not defending Tom, but I'm not a Tom defender, but. And that was interesting to leave that in because you felt like, oh, man. And then Tom gets there and it's an even bigger mess. Like, and then they argue for 15 minutes about, Sandoval's like, well, you relate to my podcast, dude.
Oh,
so
God.
Now we're arguing about time and podcasts. And then we get into it. And he's like, I love Ariana, but, and then you just sense that he is just as angry, if not angrier, than he was, you know, in this last 7 months. And it was a bummer to see. And that was like the thing. And Nick did say this. He's like, I want you to actually be happy. I do want to, you know, I do know you have good sides and stuff. And I think at the end of the day, putting all of that aside, like I actually want Tom to be good and okay, but that's not the look. I don't think that's not it at all. Like, and you seem like you're whatever therapy you're going to and all that, there still seems to be this inner rage and it's being directed now directly at Ariana instead of his own behavior and actions.
Yeah. And everyone who wants to go and think that Tom and I are just besties again, because we're seen, you know, at the same event or, you know, God forbid, I was having a conversation with Captain Jason, which we've addressed multiple times after BravoCon. But I just want to remind people, and I was even saying this to Dana on the flight home yesterday, I said, what I don't think a lot of people realize is also there were two conversations I had in Sandoval's room at BravoCon. One was with Captain Jason about his children's charity. The next one was with Tom, and I was telling him to shut the fuck up and stop talking about Ariana. Every conversation I've had with Tom Sandoval since filming has wrapped has been in defense of Ariana. literally, I have said to him so many times, Tom, nobody gives a fuck if she hasn't paid her mortgage in 8 months. Nobody gives a fuck about A, B, C, and D that you want to go and complain about and be like, well, she did this. She didn't do this. We didn't have sex for a year. Nobody fucking cares. Stop. I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. And then what does he do? He goes and does it again. Two T's in a pod. Fucking former bachelor. It's just like,
every time he talks, he makes it kind of worse, or he reopens the wound, probably for all of you guys.
It's ridiculous.
But also the audience, because there's no, like, at some point I was also thinking, like, is Tom going to be able to laugh at himself at any point?
No.
Oh yeah, man, that penis fluid was crazy, dude. Like, are we going to get like, and he's just not even close to there yet. And that just kind of, it put so many people back into like, oh, I remember why I'm mad at that dude.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that all yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, it was fine. But then I listened to that podcast or saw a TikTok clip and I'm mad all over again.
Mm-hmm. But I almost think and this is part of why he needs therapy. I think that he has like this self-deprecating sort of sense. And I think he wants to put himself further in this villain role, further into like, I think he went on Special Forces. And the first thing he says is like, I want to punish myself. And I think like just subconsciously, he wants to continue to punish himself. And he knows by being the villain and always saying these things about Ariana, it's going to force us to sort of rise up, be angry. And I think he's almost thriving in this space of like,
well, do you think he thinks like, I don't know if thriving is the word, but like I did question yesterday. I was like, is this a whole bit? Like, did they plan this
thank
out?
You.
Because, you know, and then I listened to it. I was like, nah, this seems too real. But I was like, this is wild. But to let yourself do that and to let yourself go that kind of unhinged in a long form show, like, it just, whoever's advising him, it doesn't, I just don't think it
does
justice.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen to anybody. I'm like, we used to share a manager. And after all of this, I was like, I can no longer share any sort of team with you. I was like, I don't want to be associated with anyone who works with Tom Sandoval. Obviously, we have to film a television show together. That is different. But I was like, I can't have the same person representing me who represents you. And it's just like, because also it's so infuriating that I'm like, you don't even listen to your manager. You don't listen to your publicist. You don't listen to your friends. You probably don't listen to your mom. You certainly don't listen to me after what I said to you at BravoCon. So like, who's also allowing him to go on these podcasts?
And you're showing like, up late on top of it all.
But he's never listened. I mean, like, back to like when him and Lisa, they were building out TomTom.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want to listen to Lisa. He has never listened. We're only now seeing it like amplified because like now it's like so negative.
Well, the other thing too, I thought about this was, you know, when I would talk to Ariana in the past, she would say, you know, one of the great things about that made them work is that she knew what he was trying to say, is that he's not a really good communicator. He's passionate. He's all these things, but he's not good at actually saying how he's feeling in the right way. So Ariana would be able to be kind of a Sandoval whisperer and jump in there and be able to like, and she like, you know, he'd get nervous at reunions or watch what happens live. And he was able to do that. And now you have Schwartz filling in that role, and Schwartz kind of stumbles a lot too over, you know, the Schwartziness.
If Schwartz is your translator, then you've got problems.
No, literally like from the TikToks and recaps, I did take a few notes. And one of them, when you said, is it a bit? I'm like, this whole showing up late thing, pretending like, well, I didn't know, but then it was like, you did know, and you're like, well, I'm late because you were late. Like, is that a bit?
Well, the one thing though, then, you know, having listened to the whole 2.5 hours of it is, you know, he did bring up that he was crying about his friend Ali, which was brought up on the season premiere. And that's something like, you know, to me, that kind of stuff is hands off, and we've all lost somebody and gone through grief. And I know how that hits you at weird times. Yeah. So like, my heart always goes out to that kind of stuff, but I'm just trying to make sense of all of this.
I mean, let's be real. He clearly slept in because he was probably out all night. He probably was up until God knows what hour. Mm-hmm.
He looked tired.
Yeah,
in the clip that
he looked
I saw.
Tired. And then he's like, probably still half, you know, drunk or whatever, wakes up and he's like feeling like a super, you know, human. He's like, I don't know, I'm just going to do this podcast because like, why not? And he just like,
there's like a Boogie Nights element. Mark Wahlberg's character in Boogie Nights, you know, when it's just like, he's like a hot thing, you know, and it's just the overconfidence, the cockiness, and you know, there's like a deep well of maybe even internal hatred that he has going on right now for himself, but he can't really admit. I mean, I don't know. That's the hard thing. And to see like Ariana thrive, and I know she's like, you even had a line last night, you know, talking about, I don't even know if she has processed this grief and trauma, because how could you in this short amount of time?
Yeah.
But Tom definitely hasn't. And if he's just going to get madder and madder. Like, I fear for him this season. And the darkest part of that whole thing for me was when he offhanded said, I had Kyle come and pick up my guns.
Yeah.
Like, you had guns there? Like, yeah. You had guns on premises? Like, that was wild.
The bit part, here's what I think the bit part of it is to me, is like, I think he thinks he's a rock star. And so I think he is kind of living that rock star life. And by that, I mean, not just on stage. Like, he's just kind of like going through life and he's just like, I don't know. I just say and do whatever I want and who cares? And like, I don't listen. And like, you know, like, I just think he's trying to live a rock star life right now. And it's at his detriment.
Well, it's like Shep said at the Southern Charm reunion, though. He was trying to apologize to everybody. And Craig was like, yo, of course I miss the old days. Of course. But we're getting older. We have to choose our battles. We have to actually try to make decisions that's going to set us up long term. And I think he's kind of at that reckoning. And if anything, like, you know, Schwartz said on that, like, you know, Ariana and him were twin flames. She probably was a grounding force in his life. Mm-hmm. Who is a grounding force in his life right now? Besides Kyle Chan.
That's what I was going to say. He has Kyle Chan. And Kyle Chan is never just Team Tom. Kyle sees all sides. Kyle gives him the best advice. Kyle is one of the kindest, most intelligent humans I've ever met. Like, literally, the conversations I have with him where he's just reminding me to not let the haters get to me and just reminding me what a good person I am. And, like, the pep talks I get from this man, I'm like, you are an incredible human. Why the fuck doesn't Tom Sandoval listen to you? Mm. Like, he makes me feel better in a second. I just don't get why Tom just wants to keep self-destructing. Like, come on, bro. Let's grow. Let's show up to the season 11 reunion and show some motherfucking growth.
Yeah, that would be nice.
How do you think the interview would have gone without Schwartz? Because I feel like Schwartz is, like, the best publicist that, like, Tom never even hired.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would have been even more unhinged because I do.
Or the Varsity Blues line.
Oh my God.
He's like, Rachel showed up. It's like whipped cream bikini, like in Varsity Blues.
Basically saying like, she was saying? Like this temptress. He's saying, you know, because Ariana wasn't having sex with me.
So now it's Raquel's fault.
And Raquel was this temptress, like right. The whipped cream bikini in Varsity Blues. I couldn't, you know, my emotions got the best of me. Basically saying,
but what a peek inside the male mind of that is the Varsity Blues bikini right? Whipped cream, like, scene is at the ready in his mind of like, that was potentially going. He's like, this is like Varsity Blues.
I had to look it up and I was like, oh, Allie Larder. I was like, I had forgotten.
No, I remember the scene, but it's like, it's not present in my mind like it was with Tom. And I just, what a window into during that time.
Yeah.
And also he did say, and they Schwartz it on Watch What Happens Live, he was like, kind of like, it was like a drug. And obviously, but that's the thing, is that all three of them, and especially the two of them, Rachel and Tom, there was like a whole hidden relationship that was very, very deep. And I don't know if he's realized now that wasn't love, but he thought it was, because a 9-year relationship, it's not all just like kisses and romance. You mm-hmm. have to commit. It's not fun sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like Schwartz and like, they would kept trying to bring him back to like, you know, like, you can't say that, right? You know what you sound like when you say that. So I was actually happy that the two of them were like, at least calling that out. Like, you were saying this right now, and this is how the audience is hearing that. So are you aware of it? And then he'd be like, oh, okay.
But he hates us, though. Like, that's what, like, when the audience, like, F the audience. That's what I always feel now, because he feels like he has been wronged by us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the two of them still under the same roof? Obviously, Ariana's living, you know, in New York right now, and she stayed somewhere else during Dancing with the Stars. But what are your thoughts on that for at least the season when we were filming?
I mean, her answer, I mean, she did like a, you know, or was it after show that she, her answer.
Oh, that after show.
Where she just said, like, you know, like, I'm setting myself up for a good future, and I'm not going to just like move out just because everyone thinks it's the right thing. You know, like, I want to get everything, all of my ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. And if I have to live in an uncomfortable place for a few months, I'm fine with that if it means my future is going to be better.
Yeah.
Sandoval sees it as like, she feels safe with me, because if she really didn't feel safe with me, there's no way she would stay in this house.
He's like,
with
he knows I'm not like a serial killer, da da da, which it was like, yeah, she does, but like, you also are robbing her of the actual pain you caused.
He actually said, like, she must still trust me in some ways. And I'm like, she absolutely does not trust a thing about you. I guarantee you there's a lock on the door wherever she stays.
Oh, Ariana is living in a bunker. Like, she got clothes everywhere. Like, she's got like cereal bowls in there. Like, you can see how she is living. And then Tom is living in like the single man bedroom with just like a sheet covering the bed and a water bottle. And it's, I mean, It's also another thing that's kind of a LOL a little bit in terms of the show that they have to share such a, you know, he's putting out a wind machine or a noise machine and the
machine in the hallway.
Like, that stuff is a little LOL, but yeah, overall it's a bad situation. But yeah, Ariana's not there tons. I know she's been back.
She's living her life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was the one too who told her that Kyle Chan took the guns out of the house because I don't think this was a, oh, I feel safe staying here. Yeah. I think that she hadn't even really thought about the guns. Mm-hmm. And when I told her, I was like, I just want you to know Kyle called me today and told me Tom was not in a good place. And so he removed the guns and she was just like, I don't know if they were kept in her room or whatever. And it was like, oh, so he came in with that. And I was like, she's like, but good, they're gone. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are forgetting, too, is that this took place 3 months. You started filming 3 months after the reunion, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, you know, for us, we're catching up to it now. And so when Ariana says something, I'm like, no, they aren't partying here. They aren't this. You got to remember, that is still a lot fresher for her than it is for us as an audience. And I don't think some people understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, there's that saying, if you break it, you buy it. I feel like in this case, it's like, if you break your home, you don't get to buy it. You should move the fuck out of it. Like, why are you being so stubborn? I get it. It was both of y'all's dream homes. However, that was a dream that you were building together.
Exactly.
Now and that like you're no longer together, get the fuck out.
Well, his excuse that he went in ad nauseum on the podcast was, well, when my mom and dad broke up, you know, my mom kept the house. And then when my stepmom, like he went on this whole thing about like, and when her mom and her stepdad broke up, then her mom kept the house. Like he went on about how all these people in their life, one of the person kept the house. And because of that, that was the precedent. And that's why one of them should be able to keep the house. And I'm just like, that is not, just let it go, dude. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're not going to win on technicalities at this point. And I just think he really is like, he considers physical pain, but he doesn't consider emotional pain. Yeah. He's not really taking into account of like, yeah, man, you know, and anybody out there that has had anything like this happen or any kind of trauma realizes emotional pain is so much more damaging than sometimes immediate physical pain.
Yeah.
But my theory is like, my hope is like, they just move into that shitty apartment he used to own, him and Schwartz. Bring the plants, bring the little lizards and the insects and just move in there. There with the shitty AC.
But yeah, because if you think I'm going to be okay, because I'm still going to be scrolling the feed and seeing people posting. And if I see someone posting from a pool party from the pool that I used to own that you're still living in, and you think I'm going to be, no, absolutely. Nobody's going to be posting from that pool. None of us. We're all going to post from different pools.
Who out there would think otherwise? Who listening right now would be like, no, I'd be totally cool with it. No, right? Not at all. No. And also, I think is there any kind of play in the fact that I think he's also just upset that he can't be friends with Ariana.
Oh,
that
very
she's
much.
Not willing to like relent and do like
well,
even
friends
a solo
with everyone.
Scene.
I think just like friends with. I think he's just mad.
Yeah, like
in general.
I'm gonna show that this happened. We can't.
He's
you know.
Always been the guy that's been the friend. Everyone's been Sandoval's friend, and he does not know how to manage this right now because he's always been the friend to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to handle it.
Well, I just listen. The main thing I just want to see if you kiss Schwartz. That's the whole thing. Just gotta throw that in there. So.
Keep watching. On that note, we're gonna take one more quick little break.
Am I getting kicked out?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, y'all, if you like saving money, and let's face it, who doesn't? Then you have to get Rakuten, because Rakuten shoppers get it all when it comes to shopping. The hottest brands, the best deals, and the most savings. With Rakuten, you get cash back at stores you love, like Ulta, Nike, so many more. You'll also never miss out on promo codes and coupons, because Rakuten gives you all the best ones. You can even stack cash back on top of sales, credit card points, and other loyalty programs. And it couldn't be easier. Just join Rakuten for free and then use the website or app to shop your favorite stores and watch your cash back add up. So before you buy another thing, I'm telling you, join Rakuten, because Rakuten shoppers always get the most bang for their buck. Get started at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Your cash back really adds up. And along with money, let me tell you about Rocket Money. This was something that I just recently heard about, and I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me about this before? You can find subscriptions you forgot about or ones that you've paid twice and maybe didn't realize. Brock and I recently signed up for this, and I was like, oh, still paying for that. Interesting. Totally forgot about that. Because, you know, busy mom here, don't even think about it. And I forget to cancel subscriptions that I'm no longer using. So with Rocket Money, I don't have to worry about that, because it tells me everything I need and don't need, and it can cancel it for me. It's like, do you ever feel like money's just, you know, flying out of your account? You have no idea where it's going? Well, I know. It's all of those subscriptions. I mean, think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, that was one of mine. It's endless, and I'm guilty of all of this. So I used Rocket Money to help me find out what subscriptions I'm actually spending money on. And as I said, it was quite eye-opening. So I had them cancel the ones I didn't want anymore. And now I know which ones I currently am keeping. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honey. That's rocketmoney.com/honey. rocketmoney.com/honey. All right, enough VPR. In the words of Andy Cohen, let's switch gears, but stay on the same network. So, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kyle Richards and Morgan, I've heard that they have scrubbed their socials, that they have removed any photo or mention of each other on one another's pages. So, what is your theory on what's going on? Like, did they break up? Were they ever romantically together? Are they in a friend fight? Is Kyle maybe reconciling with Mauricio? What's your theory?
I think they're more in love than ever. I think that they are going to one day like buy a little home in the mountains and live on their farm.
Like Kyle talked about this season. That's her dream. Exactly.
I know. I can't wait for Kyle to get that dream.
A big enough farm to house all of her.
Portia is old enough. Yes. You know, I want to see, and I want to see that on a show.
Yeah.
Kyle, get your own show. As we know, she can carry her own
Richard's
show.
Richard's on a ranch. Yeah. Like, that'd be amazing. And just a whole barn for her hat collection.
Yes.
I think if anything, you know, for music artists too, you know, a lot of them will just scrub their Instagram entirely when they're about to release stuff. So there's a 2 posts on Morgan about her tour and her album. So I'm like, that to me didn't send off any red flags. And then I think Kyle said today or something, she might have archived a couple, but I don't think it's as deep as everybody wants it to be. But I think just because we're left in this mystery, we want information and we want, like, we were like, I need a kiss. Come on. I need something. And I don't think that's going to happen this season or at the reunion.
Well, the reunion happened already.
I know, that's what I'm saying, I don't think that happened. I think we got the Kathy Hilton surprise. Mm-hmm. And Crystal Minkoff's on my show, I think on Friday. And, you know, Bravo's on, so I can't get information out of her. But I think it's even a mystery to everybody of what that relationship means. And it obviously means a great deal to both of them.
Right. Yeah. No, totally. But there is always that, you know, building hype around when something else is going to release. So if she has new music coming out, it's like, what a perfect way to get people to talk.
Well, I mean, speaking from your experience with, like, you know, your, you know, band and all this music, do you sit there and just be honest with the calendar and go, what could I do to get attention for this song? This is the release. Could 2 days before, could I say or hint that I did something? Have you done that?
I'll just say I do have a song coming out March 1st.
And do you have a release plan? Are you going to scrub? Are you going to scrub your Instagram of Brock?
Like, scrub Brock? Summer Moon. Block, yeah. Summer Moon.
Wait, if you block Summer Moon. By the way, what if Summer Moon is the main villain for the whole cast? It's like Summer Moon pulling the strings the entire time.
Oh my God.
But like, do you think like that? Because in this day and age, you realize the power of clicks, us talking, people making TikToks.
I personally don't. Sometimes other people will for me, but my brain doesn't really work that way. When I saw that March 1st happens to also be a Friday, it's the best day to release music is on Fridays. And I was like, well, I've got the perfect song to come out that day.
What's the song called?
It's called Sweet and Sour.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite dipping song.
Did you guys watch What Happens last night with Lala?
Yeah.
Do you think Lisa Vanderpump called her today and said, darling, how dare you say I'm not the queen?
Kyle Richards has nothing on me, darling. Yeah.
I only got to watch half of it.
Oh, so I watched that part and that, you okay. know, Michael Rapaport and her, like, who is like the queen of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And they said Kyle hands down. But then Lala was like, but I love Lisa.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, that's the great thing about Lala, too, is because it's. You know, I don't sometimes know if that's her actual feelings or she really just does know how to like poke the bear like every, because you would have to imagine Lisa is competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she's obviously super successful at her businesses, but that is something that I would imagine Lisa would be a little kind of,
I mean, she definitely made a comment to me about my post with Kyle. I'll say that. So I can't imagine Lala's not going to get a phone call today. Yeah.
Lisa, if you're listening, just come back to Beverly Hills. Just come back and show them who the real queen is of Beverly Hills. Come on, just do it. For real.
I mean, I feel like all the fans want to see it.
They do.
I just
I
can't see her coming back.
I can never see her coming back. No way.
I feel like she is just like,
yeah,
you know, way past that now. Yeah.
And she's got that other Hulu show coming out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, a lot of projects. I just think I would love to actually see that. And also, it doesn't have to be negative. Lisa Vanderpump spoke, about Kyle and Mauricio. She said, you know, very caring comments regarding Kyle. So it doesn't have to be negative.
Right. Come back. Make up.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, Monica, thoughts on her not returning? Because I know that was announced that for next season after, you know, they learned she was behind the whole Reality Von Teese account, that she would not be coming back. Do you think that Bravo made the right decision putting her on pause or cutting her out? And also, do you think it's because she threw production under the bus and said, well, they knew. And Andy was like shook.
I don't think that they had any other choice. Like they could not like set this as a precedent because there is a faction of the fan base that would take advantage of that. And then I think it would become like unhinged. They have to say like, uh-huh, we have to cut it off. So, okay, I have a little beef with Monica right now.
Tell me.
I like, you know, I've been trying to like get her to come on my show. I'm like hosting Reality Checked and
on Sirius XM channel 102.
And I was like, okay, can you please call in? And she's like in the DMs. Yes, 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 yes. Girl, why was I on the way here in the parking garage and Dorinda was hosting today and she was like, I have a special guest. Monica called in.
Oh, hell no.
So Monica's on my shit list right now. But, mm-hmm, you know, she was saying like they were, because, you know, of course, Dorinda, the original pause queen, right?
Right.
She was like, they were having this whole conversation because Monica's like, you know, they're calling it a cooling off. And I see it as a cooling off because I think that people just need to cool off like from all of it. So I think that she sees this really like as like a temporary thing.
If she plays her cards right. But you know, like I had Kate Arthur from Variety on, mm-hmm, last week on the show, and she did a great making the scene where she interviewed Andy, Shed Media, and Heather Gay. And it provided so much more context of the story because out of the reunion, I was like, no, man, like bring her back. Let's see how she actually deals with it. It's kind of like Sandoval in a sense.
Right.
Or even if Rachel like came and she's like, how do you deal with this much mudslide? And, you know, hearing those interviews, you kind of got a fuller picture. And also you find out that she was posting on Reality Von Teese during filming the season. And for me, that's actually a real strong line of like, wait, you were actually, mm-hmm, posting about these women while you were filming? Because in my head, what I wanted it to be was she started this silly account. She got Jen Shah. She hated Jen Shah. But then she didn't think she was going to be on the show. She got on the show and then got, okay, I got to put this account to bed because I actually really want to be on this show and really see where it leads. Mm-hmm. But if she really was posting that whole time, it means she was. And if you can put her sending those DMs to Meredith about Angie Katsanavis, that's another dark thing, because then you have somebody actively trying to take people down.
But was it her or the five other people?
That's what it
right.
was. But see,
that was her out. It was like, well, it's not just me.
But yeah. that's why I want like some kind of Bravo and Bravo ID discovery show of like breaking
all
down.
All six of them.
Well, but that, the whole season's a mystery and it's still a mystery in a lot of ways. So yeah. we're going to pick up in a new season and I'm still going to be wondering what's going on. Mm-hmm. But Monica did have 2 months to prepare for that reunion and she did not come in as strong as she could have. She checked out at one point. Yep. Heather, like,
I know, he gave her an opportunity to talk and yeah. she literally just said no.
If she hadn't flopped in that like third part, yes. I do think that would have been a chance. But yeah, that the burn book was a flop. Like,
and Heather was a more effective communicator with her story. And mm-hmm. you will not, like, I still to this day believe Heather, I don't believe production knew, but I believe Heather planned that call. She left the mic pack on and she even talks about it in the interview. She's like, usually I take it off, but there was an hour and a half break and I was just so tired. I did. So the mic pack she knew was on. She took that call knowing she was mic'd up. And Sheena, do you know when you're mic'd up in Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, 100%. You're right? literally wearing it off, on your body.
Yeah.
So you're very aware of that. I just think Heather is one of the smarter housewives out there right now. Mm-hmm. And I will... By the way, that's her prerogative to do that because she actually had real beef to talk about. But it's fascinating because then she had to pitch it to the producers because they didn't know what Reality Von Teese was. They were like, does anybody care about reality? Like, we don't even know what that is.
But yeah. that, to me, that's the thing that's funny, is the reason Heather is one of the smarter housewives out there is because she was the biggest fan. And that, to me, is like the whole, like, you're trying to bury Monica for being this, like, crazed fan, which I will say she took it over the edge sometime. But at the end of the day, you were the biggest fan and you know how to play this game and you just did it better than her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Heather is just so much better at it and she knows how it plays. And, you know, she took a little brunt for it. Like, I don't think it was all positive reviews for Heather, but she's there next season and Monica isn't.
Yeah.
Speaking of Heather, I know obviously Andy wasn't happy with her because she had made some past comments suggesting production was covering up the black eye, even suggested production gave her the black eye and whatnot. Do you think she should be in as hot of water as Monica?
I think that, like, she should have been taken to task a bit more because, like, that's pretty egregious. Like, you knew this whole time that production had nothing to do with your black eye, but you were still, like, throwing that out there. And not even, you were throwing it out there on these live, like, touring events to people that were just like recording it and could have just kind of posted it. And that's like really dangerous because like that producer could have at least been under investigation. I feel like anytime you have anything on your HR file, it's just not a good look.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they had that internal investigation, you're also like throwing like, wow, they didn't do a good job investigating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just wonder how far that is. And especially in Bravo in the year 2024, they got so many fires that they're like having to like everything. You don't want to add to that. But then it comes down to Monica being a liar and Heather being a liar. But we all believe Heather a lot more in the story she tells. But that's a dark thing to keep for a year. And the Jen Shah of it all, I am still inside. Like, it's such a mystery for me what she has over these women that they all are still deathly afraid. And if we're to believe Heather's story, you know, Heather says, well, now I'm like a phoenix rising from the ashes. I'm so much more confident now and I know myself. But I always thought Heather did know herself. Heather was also producing even last season when she said, hey, Jen, if you want them to get off talking about you, throw it my way and say this about me. Like, she knows the game.
You know what I think? I mean, this is just a theory I've just been like in my head tossing around lately is like, what does Jen Shah have over? And I always think back to that reunion where they were asking Jen what she does and Heather goes, I don't know what she does, but I like it. Cause she was talking about how Jen like, and I think they see what's happening with Erica Jane. Right. And like, I just think that they're like, if we were part of something where we were spending money that was being stolen and getting parties.
Yeah.
Even if we didn't know, we don't want to be dragged into it. And like, we just want to keep her on our nice side because she's in jail. And like, let's just keep the girl in jail happy. And like, let's not be a part of it. Cause like, I don't know, like, maybe they were living the high life on like, you know, and they didn't know it. But again, like when you see what's happening with Erica and Job Girardi, it's like you just don't want to be involved in it. You don't want people, you don't want the IRS involved in any way, shape or form in your life.
But they start filming this weekend and it's going to be really interesting to see if all of those ladies try way too hard to show that like, we don't need Monica. Like, so you already hear of like three fights this weekend, right? Because they're like, no, we got to prove to everybody we're amazing.
And I don't even know these two new girls, Brittany and
Yeah, they still haven't gotten one of the names actually right. But like, I'm all down for new people. I just think like, are you truly going to be out from under the shadow of Jen and Monica? Or is it going to be a season of just like you guys already talking about Rachel and Vanderpump? Is it going to be kind of the thing that is like lording over like the thing in the back that we can't really talk about?
Right.
Yeah.
Guess we shall see. So last time I had you both here, you weren't convinced that Travis, Kelce, and Taylor Swift was the real deal. And I have to ask now, we're going to the Super Bowl. Have opinions changed?
Look, I still am not, have not been on the Travis and Taylor train. And people, I literally had some of the meanest DMs sent to me about it. They were like, you're such a hater. Love will always win. And like, you just hate love. And I'm like, I don't hate
Worry about your own love. Yeah.
Here's what I will say. I decided I'm going to go to Kansas City for the Super Bowl because I actually want to be with the fans for the Super Bowl.
Wait, you're not on board the trip, but you're going to go to Kansas City?
Not to Vegas.
Not to Vegas. I'm going to go to Kansas City.
Are you like camping somewhere in Kansas to like go? Are you covering the game? Or
No, I'm going to go watch the game with the fans.
This is wild to me. Like, when is
there's
like,
going to be fans in Vegas? It's a much closer flight.
No. I want real fans. I want actual fans, and not the ones that pay $15,000.
When
for
did
a seat.
You get this idea that you
when
wanted
I was
to be
drunk and I was like hoping that Detroit was going to win because I really wanted to go to Detroit.
I was an hour late for Nick's podcast, and I came up with this idea.
I did. I was like at the bar, and the Ravens lost. I was like, okay, that sucks. So I was like, Detroit wins. I was like, if Detroit wins, CeCe, we're going to Detroit. We're going to watch.
Oh, CeCe going too?
Of course.
Oh, amazing!
I bought tickets there at the bar. Drunk, can't return them. It's past 24 hours. So. But like, so I'm actually excited because I will say part of what I want to do while I'm there is ask the fans about their whole feelings on Taylor and Travis because I want to know what locals think. Like, if they're excited for it, then maybe I'll change my tune. Like, you know, if you feel good about it and this represents your city and you love it, then I love it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as a pop culture lover, I just like the, you know, I don't like the anger that it kind of produces, but I do love the little things of like, can Taylor make it from her Japanese concert in Japan?
That was my next question.
And will Travis Kelce be at the Grammys, which he isn't going to be at the Grammys. Like, I like that it now kind of, it spills out into other pop culture and all of the, I like the little Jerry Maguire moment of them kissing on the field. Like, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like 10 years from now, we'll know the real deal if it was a PR relationship or not. But like I said last time, anything that those people do, it's going to be a PR relationship just because they are so famous. But there was a study that came out. She generated $330 million for the NFL. Just her name, like just that, they projected her like, you know, pushing in $330 million to the NFL.
And this is my other issue because I'm like, oh, look, I know that I said that I felt like Taylor had a deal with the NFL. But like at the end of the day, like I'm like, is this also why the Chiefs won? Because I'm just like, Detroit should have won that game. And I know for the NFL and for they needed the Chiefs to be at the Super Bowl. And it's going to look, they're going to have the best ratings that they probably had in years.
But I get frustrated
with this.
But
Detroit played the 49ers.
Detroit played the 40. But I'm saying Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they needed that. I wanted Detroit to go.
But they needed the 49ers against them.
Well, I don't know if they needed it. It's better. It actually is. Like,
because everyone would have been rooting for the Lions as the underdog.
Yeah.
Cesspool that is Twitter is like, you know, I go on there and I don't know a lot about sports, but just it's like, oh, you know, it's that. It's the conspiracy theory of they had the Chiefs win. And I always just like, man, is anything real anymore? We do it with Vanderpump Rules. We do it with everything of like, that's not the actual story. The real story is this. It's like, can we just have like, yeah, they actually won on their own accord. But now everything, like there's still a part of me now because I'm like, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe all the refs gave them the calls. Like everything now is some conspiracy theory.
Right.
I just want something to be like dead on correct.
I just want it to be real.
I want something to be real.
Like, do we think maybe he just brings out, you know, a new side of Taylor, one that she hasn't felt comfortable showing before?
I think that if anything, she brings out a side of him. Because if anything, if anyone is going to fall in love harder, I think it's going to be him in the situation.
Yeah.
And I think that she will be like, okay, See you later.
Well, that's the big mystery is too, is like, we don't know. Like, I would love to know what a conversation is like behind closed doors. Like, what do they talk about? Like, does it get deep? Is it like, no, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. Like, is it like, where are they in stages of relationship? Because they can only see each other that much.
Yeah.
And then even at his victory speech, he's like, you got to fight for your right to part. And I wonder if Taylor's like, oh, Beastie Boy. Like, I wonder even in, when he does those kind of NFL jocular jock jams, if she's like, oh, he's so silly and cute, or like, what are you doing?
Well, when his old tweets came out, I don't know how many of them were real or how many of them were made. Yeah, it was like he spelled squirrel wrong. And I'm like, and I know she is very like intellectual. Like she like, you know, so I do
that
wonder
would bother
that,
me.
That too.
Yeah, the your and the you apostrophe R-E. Like you.
Yeah, like does he do spell check on all his text to her? Like
and chat GTP on his text messaging.
Yeah, he's like, what do I talk to you about Taylor? Yeah.
All right, well, keeping it with pop stars. Britney Spears, I saw after Justin Timberlake recently released his new single, Selfish, fans flooded streaming platforms to push Britney Spears' song, Selfish, above Justin's. But then Britney went to Instagram and posted an apology for some of the things she wrote about him in her book, but also was like simultaneously praising his new song.
So she loves it. Mm-hmm.
How and why do you think this came about?
You know, look, I think that Britney has a very tender heart. I really do. I think she's very sensitive. I think she's very childlike because I actually don't think that she grew past a certain age. And I think that sometimes, you know, she may really release or tantrum or whatever. And then sometimes she wants to feel love. And like, you know, I also think that sadly, that she's scared of therapy because of what she's been through. Mm-hmm. I also think she needs to be in therapy. And I think that's the like problem that we're going to have is like, she's very distrusting, but she still needs it. And so I think that a lot of what we see online are these sort of emotions, and I'm not going to assign or prescribe any sort of like mental illness or whatever to it. But I do think that we're seeing real time her going through, and look, she's going through a divorce too, right? It's like all of these things. And I don't know who's around her right now. And
it's always some bizarre housekeeper, you know? It's just like, but then the other thing too is like, that is all totally true, but then it activates the fan base.
Yeah.
Because then the fan base is the one that's like, no, let's get that Selfish up on the charts and beat Justin. So even if Britney is not feeling that way, the fans still are.
Yeah.
And she almost had to be like, yo, I'm calling it like true. She had to put that out there. And it's so interesting if you study Justin Timberlake right now of like, is his comeback, you know, PR wise, is it going to work? Because if you go online, I mean, it is nonstop hate for this guy.
Yeah.
And I just think that is so interesting. Like even performance wise, you know, even on SNL, people were just tearing it apart. And I'm like, he can't win for, I mean, there's a Sandoval aspect to it in some ways, not to bring it back to him. But the other thing, I mean, and I learned a lot about this from Kiki was, you know, just this weekend was so crazy because then you had the Nicki Megan, the Stallion stuff.
Right.
And that was like in the top, like, so the top five was Ben, what was it? Ben... The political
Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro did a rap on one, and then it was Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion, Justin, and Britney. I was like, four of these things are just out of pure spite for each other.
So whose side are we on with Nicki and Megan? Because I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know there's like a diss track. And I mean, I love a good diss
track. I came full circle with it, actually. Like when I listened to all the think pieces and all of that, I'm actually not team either of them. I'm actually love both of them. And Nicki is very old school.
Yeah.
And yeah, her fans, she does need to get them in check. They take it too far. They should not be trying to desecrate the grave of Megan.
There's extra security around Megan Thee Stallion's mom's grave now?
I know. It's insane. Ooh. But like, I was like, at the end of the day, when I go home, I'm probably going to be bopping to Nicki. And like, on the way here, I was bopping to Megan.
But
like,
not that diss track. That diss track was weak.
The diss track was terrible.
Yeah, like that was not a good diss track.
She didn't take her time with it. But at the end of the day, like, I think about old school beef. When we see 50 Cent kind of going on someone, we don't think twice about it. We laugh at it. We're like, oh, the way he comes at Randall. Oh my God, he's so funny. He can go all the way in. But like, when it comes to women, I do think that we like hold them to like the standard, and all of a sudden the ageism come in. Oh, she's too old to be doing that. Why?
Yeah.
Why is she too old? They're both rappers. They're both in the same industry. She can come at her when she's 45, when she's 55, if they're still rapping. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. I just thought for me, it was like, you know, to me, she is so elevated in status that I was shocked. And it wasn't just that. It was the nonstop on Twitter.
Well,
like, go
problem.
To bed. Like, yeah. Bethany, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Do, you know, that really actually was like, you don't need to be doing
this. She doesn't.
This.
She doesn't. Like, the best meme meme I saw or best video I saw was like, I don't think Nicki Minaj realizes she's Nicki Minaj. Like, don't do this. You're way above this.
You're
like,
not scrapping. These aren't the salad days. You are established. And it just made me, then we all get worried. And you're right, though. There is a feminine aspect to it that we treat our female pop stars, Britney included, mm-hmm. and we don't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you remember the silliest one, Eminem and Everlast back in the day? Their beef? And
oh
it was
my gosh.
So
and well, there's a new one, Eminem and Benzino. I'm like, okay, you guys, you really go to you two go to sleep.
Okay, I have three rapid fire questions to wrap it up. Would you send a postcard to the house of your affair partner?
What, like, what's the postcard?
Would you?
The lightning, but like
would
the
you
lightning
bolt. Yeah.
Oh, I would never do it.
Yeah. No. I mean, no. I obviously no. 100%.
Would you live under a popular flight path?
Yeah, houses are so hard to get. I just would love a house.
Depends like, on, yeah, if I got a good house for a good price.
And also, is that exaggerated too? I was wondering. No.
No, I know. Literally, I'm so trained after over a decade of doing this that even sometimes in normal conversations, I'll be at a regular lunch, not mic'd, not filming anything, and I'll hear a helicopter or a plane and I'll pause conversation because I just know pause for, you know, an ambulance, like, a plane. And so many times this summer at James's, it was like, and
That's what I was wondering when I was watching. I was like, the production must be so livid.
Yeah. Do LED lights fall under freedom of speech?
Absolutely not.
Sandoval 2024, dude. LED lights for everybody. Imagine being those neighbors, though. They had to hear him hooking up with Rachel in the backyard, and then LED lights are going at all hours. And then the just imagine the conversations that are going on there at 3 a.m. Yeah. Like,
we should be interviewing the neighbors. But I'm leaving right now. I'm going to go interview the
neighbors.
Well,
I think one of them is Breckin Meyer. Like,
I was going to say that, but I didn't think I should announce that.
Imagine upsetting
Breckin
Meyer from Clueless. Like, that's got to be wild.
Yeah.
He's like, Varsity Blues, dude, and Clueless. Yeah.
I didn't know if that was public knowledge.
Oh, well, that was on Nick's podcast.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah, they left that in there. And
then we can leave it in here.
And the assistant quit.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hopefully that was...
And started a podcast.
God. Everything leads to a podcast these days.
Seriously. Well, speaking of, you guys, thank you so much for being here. Host of Pop Crime Podcast and Sirius's Reality Checked. Host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Kiki, Ryan, thank you again for another amazing Hot Topics episode. I know people have loved having you guys here. I love having you here. So I would love to continue these.
Yes, please.
All right. Well,
did you know Thomas Sandoval was an educated recruit? I can't believe that.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
'Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.